Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, December 11th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 22, starting with the first paragraph. This is, by no means, reading through two paragraphs, ending with respect to other matters, commenting on both paragraphs. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Cheryl Ann M., 12 Traditions, Dana P. The reader of the text this morning is Jordan L. Julie E.B. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Lois P. The reference number for Thursday, December 10th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 15,964, and for this morning, Friday, December 11th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 15,971. That's 15971. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Suzanne W., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Cheryl Ann M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Cheryl Ann.
Good morning, group. Cheryl Ann M., recovered, not cured, in Rhode Island. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us, and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl Ann M. And now I'll ask Dana P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service. Dana P., the 12 traditions. In California, tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our common purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsively overeating. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and internet, I'll add. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you so much, Dana P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing on what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 22, the first paragraph, beginning with "This is by no means," reading through two paragraphs, ending with "respect to other matters," commenting on both paragraphs. I will now ask Jordan L. to begin reading. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Don. Thank you for moderating this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting with you guys. This is by no means a comprehensive picture of the true alcoholic, as their behavior patterns vary, but this description should identify him roughly. Why does he behave like this? If hundreds of experiences have shown him that one drink means another debacle, with all its attendant suffering and humiliation, why is it he takes that one drink? Why can't he stay on the water wagon? What has become of the common sense and willpower that he still sometimes displays with respect to other matters? reading through these this morning, first thing that jumps out at me is this description should identify him roughly. This was a really important part of the book for me when I first got abstinent. It was important for me to have the knowledge contained in the last page and a half, where it talks about the moderate drinker, the hard drinker, and the real alcoholic. It was incredibly important for me to distinguish between the moderate eater or the eater that, you know, eats normally, someone who is able to stop eating naturally when they're full up, the hard eater, someone who looks like they could even be a compulsive overeater, may even have some excess weight or a problem with weighing more than they should or would be intended for their body size, and the real compulsive overeater. Because sometimes a real compulsive overeater doesn't carry excess weight and doesn't look like they have a problem. And not everyone who looks like they have a problem is a real compulsive overeater. So it was very important for me to understand that the real compulsive overeater, there's a difference there. That it's about the nature of this twofold illness. That is what distinguishes me from those moderate eaters and those hard eaters. And then this next paragraph asking these questions. Why is it that I can't just get with the program? especially after all of the suffering and humiliation that my compulsive overeating caused me. I lived with excess weight my entire adult life. I started gaining weight around the time that I was like a preteen entering middle school. So 11, 12 years old. And by the time I was 14, I weighed 200 pounds. I looked so different from the other kids around me at that point. You know, I was so apart from, I was so separated. I would have given anything. I would have given anything to be a normal size.
Time.
So why is it that that us real compulsive overeaters, we can't just get with the program? what is up with that? So that's all I got this morning. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. And now I will be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on these two paragraphs. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Irene B.
Christina J.
Christina J.
Penny L. C.
Penny L. C.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Devorah S.
Alice A.
Okay, let's go with that lineup. I've got Irene B, Christina J, Penny LC, Kathleen O, Devorah S, and Alice A. This morning, we'd like you to share the state or country that you're calling from so that those who might wish to contact you from our member list may do so. So we'll start with Irene B., followed by Christina J. Good morning, Irene.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B., a very grateful recovered bulimic. And I can say that I am a recovered bulimic, but not cured. And I can say it without fear or anything because the desire to binge and purge is gone. I am terrified of it. And I'm going to go against the grain and I'm going to say that I spent four inpatient, four outpatient treatment centers. They wanted to look, I guess, in a way, at the why of why I did what I did. But I have learned, I minimized everything that happened to me in my infancy, and there was trauma. And then I see the connection that a traumatic event led directly to the crazy, crazy compulsive overeating at age six. And prior to that, I was a beautiful, slender, beautiful little girl. I was. And then I became a compulsive overeater. And I was ruled unacceptable. And that just compounded the problem because I was just no good. And what I learned in treatment centers was that my cognitive distortions was the thinking that led to my bad feelings, and that was all fine and dandy, and I thought that was the solution, but it wasn't. It wasn't until I came to this room and I came to connect to my higher power that I learned how to counteract the mental obsession, which came because of what food did for me. Food enabled me to disassociate, to not feel my feelings, to numb out, to check out. And it did a great, great job. And over time, I am blessed by the 12 steps program that teach me how to counteract, how to uncover, discover, discard, and replace all the crazy beliefs, the crazy core irrational beliefs that live in my prehistoric brain that are so automatic in me that I am not aware of them. And by the grace of God, these programs are teaching me how to identify them. And instead of the internalized critical parent, I am kind and gentle with me, so that I don't berate myself and feel horrible. And I thank God for the program, and I pass.
Thank you, Irene B. And if you're just joining us, we are on page 22, the first paragraph. This is by no means reading through two paragraphs, which ends with respect to other means. And we're commenting on both those paragraphs this morning. We'll now have Christina J. share with us, followed by Penny L. C. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. Hope everyone's doing all right. Christina J. in the state of Washington, recovered for today. And I really just want to start out by giving a shout out to everybody that prayed for me and my husband. We've had COVID for the last 2 weeks, and we're finally coming through the fog of it, the depth of it. And just the prayers have been wonderful and the support, so thank you. And my gratefulness extends deeper into not being in the food during this time. I cannot imagine being in the food. It would have just made everything, I think, 100 times worse. So anyway, moving on to this paragraph. So for years, I'm like everybody. You know, I kept searching for the why and was flirting with trying to get into treatment centers, and I just couldn't, it didn't work in my life, but I just figured that somebody should help me, and I, you know, the therapy and all this stuff through the years, never answered the question of why, and if diets were going to work, well, by God, they should have worked, because it took all my my sugar foods away, and I wasn't triggered allergy-wise, but I still was triggered emotionally, and the buildup of human emotions, as Harlan says, is why I always ate. I had build-ups from when I was a small child, really, really strange existence when I was a little girl and didn't understand what was going on around me. And that countered and went on into my life. And I went on many spiritual retreats looking for answers, so on and so forth. Then I found in 2014, I found a vision and began to work the program. And then a new set of whys begin. Why wasn't this working for me? You know, what am I doing wrong in the program? Why do I keep relapsing? And the answers come for me, which have to do with I wasn't willing to go through the pain of getting through the emotional buildup to the other side. And going through the pain doesn't mean I have to do it alone. It means that I need to work these tools and steps, because within the working of the tools and steps is the freedom from the emotional buildup. So if I'm not willing to walk away from a potential binge because I'm not emotionally stable and not feeling good in myself about whatever, if I'm not willing to walk away, pick up the phone, reach out, if I'm not willing to journal or whatever it takes to get me to the other side of that craving, that comes from the emotional buildup or the allergy being triggered, I don't have a chance in hell. I'm going to pick that up and I'm going to go on another binge. Because if I'm not willing to do the work and surrender to the work, then I'm going to be in my own will. I am going to handle this. I'm going to have this today, and then later I'm going to get back on track. And I relapsed and relapsed and relapsed with that thought process. I need this for today. So there was a part of me that wasn't willing or didn't know how to surrender to the work. It takes turning and walking away and sitting with that pain and asking God to help and then listening for the answer of what to do next. And by God, we know what to do next in this program. It works. Thank you. It works if you work it. That's the secret. Do it. Just do it. Don't ask any dumb questions. Don't let your mind run off with the disease thoughts. Just do it, and the freedom is waiting. Love you all, and thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. And now Penny L.C. will share with us, followed by Kathleen O. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And, you know, I'm asked to identify in and being able to read these lines and to know that the descriptions fit me, short of changing food for alcohol and changing bite for drink, I'm right there. And for years, I didn't want to identify in. I would read these pages and I would read all about my family members that were alcoholic. And it finally took my disease getting to critical level for me to be able to read these pages and see myself in black and white on this paper, and to know that this was me as well. And realizing how parallel my actions and thoughts were, the same as the alcoholic. And since these similarities are so very apparent, it's rational that the problem must be the same too. If I can identify into all of the behaviors, then chances are, you know, I've got the same problem. And therefore, if I can't not start, and when I start, I can't stop, it makes sense that the problem is the same. And therefore, the solution may be the same. It's worth exploring. That was my truth that I had to face. And I've proved my powerlessness over and over with every compulsive bite I took, time and time again, swearing off, but returning nonetheless. And I'm now being offered to choose a source of power greater than me, that can direct me to a new way of living. And thankfully, a new way of being. And this new way of being guided and directed by my higher power has brought me to an amazing awareness and acceptance of myself, and a willingness to take the action necessary to be able to be free from my disease one day at a time, and for doing it all with you folks, and I appreciate the support. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny L.C. And now Kathleen O. will share with us, followed by Devorah S. Good morning, Kathleen, and please tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Kathleen O., covered in Northern California. Oh, so this is by no means a comprehensive picture of the true alcoholic. And in my case, it's not a comprehensive picture of the true overeater. And the previous paragraph, it may roughly identify the real compulsive overeater, but it's one of the longest paragraphs, and it certainly was precise in many of my behaviors in this disease. Lack of control, doing absurd things while binging, antisocial, incredibly dishonest and selfish. I would hide food, and I wouldn't show up when I was supposed to show up. And, you know, over and over, one bite of my trigger foods meant another debacle. It was a horrifying, bad situation once I started. a complete disaster. It was a train wreck. And, you know, why could I never stop once I started? I don't know if any of us will ever know why. You know, other people have fear and resentments. They experience emotions. Their emotions build up in life, but they don't drink or eat over it. And, you know, my best answer is I'm just wired differently. You know, I can't stop because for some reason when it comes to food, I don't have a shut-off valve. And willpower and self-knowledge, including what I read in this book, it didn't help. What worked was taking action and actually following the directions in this book. Didn't help to know about it. I had to actually take the action and do it. And, you know, I was so hopeless when it came to my food addiction. I couldn't figure out why when I would go out to dinner with friends or I'd go to a party, alcohol would be served. I was the person that would have a glass of wine and never finished it. I never had a taste for alcohol. I'm one of the few people I know who's never been drunk. Why is that? I don't know. But when it comes to food, polar opposite. I would go to a party. I couldn't think of anything but the food. How could I get more without being seen? I couldn't even follow conversations. Once I started, I was just obsessed with it. It was a real train wreck. So I don't know why, you know, it's like why? There's a lot of whys in the world. But I do know that there is a solution, there's an answer, and it's in these pages. It is the only thing that has ever worked for me, you know, more than 5 minutes. I've been doing this for 16 years, and as long as I keep showing up, as long as I keep helping others, as long as I stay connected with my higher power, you know, today when something looks interesting or I have this feeling that I want more, thanks. I go to my higher power. I pause. I take a break. Go to my higher power. This program does work. And thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen O. And now we'll have Devorah S. followed by Alice A. And then I'll be opening up the lines for more names of people who would like to share. Good morning, Devorah S.
Hey, good morning, Dawn, and everyone on this line that makes this meeting possible. Thank you so much for all you being here. My name is Devorah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And that question, that million-dollar question, why did I behave like this? I wish I knew the answer that back then, but I didn't. And for years and years, I ate, and I was obsessed, and I couldn't stop. And I promised myself and I promised other people that it wouldn't happen again. And I lived in the if onlys, if only I'd stop eating, then blah, 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 finish the sentence. And I never knew. I don't know why I behaved like that until I learned coming into this program why I did that. I have an allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. Good morning. Thank you for telling me that. Wow. It made so much sense now why I couldn't leave something alone, why every bag and every box had to get finished right away. I couldn't leave it alone. I had to just keep going until it was gone. I mean, we all have stories like that. I remember replacing a whole container of ice cream so that no one knows that, and it was just started with one spoonful, another spoonful, and then the whole thing was gone. And I went to the supermarket to replace it so that no one would know it, that I did that. You know, the craziness that I did with the food. And, you know, coming into this program and hearing the doctor's opinion, you know, what the problem was and the solution, you know, and then it wasn't just putting down the food. It was great to put down the food. Great. You know, you feel wonderful. But then what do you do with all that other stuff that's coming up? You know, all the things that caused me to eat, right? You know, the frustration and the anger and, you know, all that stuff that was coming up. Now I realize I saw why I turned to the food, you know, the problem, the you know, what did I deal? How did I deal with it? All the roads led to food. And thank you, God, you know, thank you, God, to have a program today which teaches me you know, to recognize these feelings and to see where it's coming from. And, you know, and to look at myself and not point the finger at everyone else. You know, it's so easy to point at the finger and say, if only you would do this, if only you would do that. But it's me. I'm the one who's selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid. It's me. And this program helps me to identify those emotions and to connect with a higher power, because the same God who gives me these emotions can take them, can relieve me of them. And I have to learn. I'm learning each day. It doesn't just happen. Every day is day one for me to submit myself to God and to His will and to my character defects. And really grateful for another day and another opportunity to use these character defects to get close to God. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you, Devorah S. And now, Alice A., will you share with us? And please tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Alice A., a grateful compulsive eater from Montgomery, Alabama. There's a sentence in the second paragraph today that says, if hundreds of experiences have shown him that one drink or one bite means another debacle with all its attendant suffering and humiliation, why is it that he takes that one drink? Every time I took that first bite, I was sure I could handle it, but I didn't, and I couldn't. My self-worth went down with every diet I tried and failed, and my value as a person continually declined because I could not lose weight and keep it all. What was wrong with me? I wasn't a good enough person, a good enough parent, a good enough teacher. When I found this program and God replaced calamity with serenity in my life, I knew that this is exactly where I needed to be. But some days I get up and I think, I don't want to do this today. I've got it. I'm okay. And then I stop and think. I ask myself, how is your life with serenity in balance? And then I smile and think, this program and my relationship with my higher power is the most important thing in my life, and I will go to any length to maintain it. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Alice A. And I would like to let you know we're on page 22, the first paragraph, starting with this is by no means, reading through two paragraphs, ending with respect to other matters. So we're going to be commenting on both those paragraphs, and I'd now be liking to take more names. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Maggie Rose M.
Was that Betty Charles Rose?
H. Mary G.
Maggie Rose? Yes.
Okay, Maggie Rose, M, I believe.
I said Charles H. like three times. I don't know if you heard me.
I sure did. Thank you, Charles H.
Becca R.
Becca R.
It's a BJ.
IDS.
Ida S. And was that a, let me see. Okay, I have Maggie Rose M, Charles H, Becca R, Ida S. Who did I miss?
Mary G.
Mary G. Okay.
It's a PJ.
And we're going to, was that Tiffany J?
Tippy? Yeah.
Okay. I might have time for you, Tippy. We'll find out if we have enough time. So hopefully we will. We'll start with Maggie Rose M, followed by Charles H. And Maggie Rose, if you would give us the state that you're calling from. Good morning.
Yes, I'm calling from Vancouver, Canada.
Oh, wonderful.
This is just overwhelming, these two paragraphs. Well, this whole section has been, but the, again, if hundreds of experiences show him that one drink means another debacle, that with all the attendant suffering. I was thinking of, because it's holiday time, and I was thinking of all the times that I would buy on those candy holidays, I call them, Easter, Halloween, Christmas, and whatever else, Valentine's Day. I would buy all the candy for my kids, in quotes. And then, of course, I'd get it a couple weeks ahead of time, put it on a shelf in my closet, probably eat the whole thing, if not most of it, and have to go back and replenish it. And I think I did, there was a couple of years that I did that like three times. And I remember this one Easter when, by the time I went back for the final time, that my kid's favorite candy was gone. And I felt so bad, but not bad enough ever to quit. And so, you know, this is just, well, it's not a mystery because we know that we have the allergy of the body and the sickness of the mind. And But it took me so long to know that I just can't have one, that I just can't engage in any of those behaviors that lead to that. So I really appreciate a chance to get on to the line this morning and thank all of you for being there, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Maggie Rose M. And now we'll have Charles H. followed by Becca R. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning. I apologize for, I don't usually jack my name three times like that, but I had to get in this morning. Charles H., I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. You know, I like what it says in A Vision for You. Perhaps we know only a little, right? And not to let the cat out of the bag, you know, you damn know I'm going to do it. Perhaps there will be, on Monday, we're going to read, perhaps there will never be a full answer to these questions. Opinions may vary considerably as to why the alcoholic reacts differently than normal people. We are not sure why, once a certain point is reached, little can be done for him. We cannot answer the riddle. So, you know, why is a crooked letter? Like me asking why, I like what my friend said this morning. I ain't going to jack nobody's name. We don't do that here. We're compulsive overeaters, and we're not doing this for fame. We're, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm doing this to save my life one day at a time. Why? Because of what I just said. There's never a full answer to this question. Why is this chapter? I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Why is this chapter called There's a Solution? Well, perhaps we'll never have a full answer to these questions, right? You know what's right? I was hearing somebody talk about why is there a step six and a step seven. Well, step six, I mean, steps, what's the difference? What I want to say is, what's the difference between a character defect and a shortcoming? Well, a character defect is me being a compulsive overeater, and a shortcoming is me compulsively overeating. Why? Perhaps there will never be a full answer to these questions. Opinions may vary considerably as to why. So with that, I pass. Thank you. I want to leave space for that other person that needs to share.
Well, thank you, Charles H. And now we'll have Becca R. followed by Ida S. Good morning, Becca, and please share where you're calling from, if you would.
Hey, good morning. It's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Bowling Green, Kentucky. And I loved the reading. I liked the first paragraph, how it tells me this isn't necessarily the comprehensive picture, because I'm really quick to look at this and be like, nope, not it, and identify out. But then in that second paragraph, when it really talks about the insanity, I could relate to that. That drew my attention. You know, why, no matter what diet I do, no matter how much I try on my own will, I could not stay abstinent. I couldn't do this thing. And that is the powerlessness that brought me in here and it helped me become willing to try this thing full-heartedly and to take the suggestions that before I had kind of said, I'll take this, but I'm not going to take that. So that's all I have. I've got a crying kid for the past. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Becca R. And now we'll have Ida S. share with us, followed by Mary G. Good morning, Ida.
Was it Ivy S?
Oh, yes, Ivy. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ivy, compulsive overeater, bulimic, California. This is a good paragraph for me. It talks about hundreds of experiences that I've had and how common sense, what about the common sense and willpower that I had in other areas. For me, this is really good information and for me to kind of identify in because I really started and continue to see the insanity of my eating, my binging and purging. So many reasons to stop, and yet I couldn't stop. That when it comes to my alcoholic foods, I am insane. You know, I truly am insane. And how do I know I'm insane? Because when I look back into my own binging and purging history, I see examples after examples, sufferings and humiliations over and over again, you know, with varying degrees of turmoil and, you know, tragedy, things like that, that just show me one more time how insane my binging and purging is, and just reinforce the idea that I am not a normal eater. You know, I don't have the dubious luxury of eating, you know, some of the foods that maybe a person who has a normal relationship with food can, but that's just not me. And it doesn't matter if I may appear normal and capable in other areas, but when it comes to food, you know, certain types of foods, you know, I start engaging in that, and you know, it's my master, you know, like the book says, it's King Donut or King Ice Cream, you know, over and over again. So it's good information for me to have and remember one day at a time. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ivy S. And now Mary G., will you share with us, and followed by Tippy. So good morning, Mary.
Hi, this is Mary G. from Mesa, Arizona, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for letting me share this morning. And I love that thing. If 100 experiences showed him that one drink means another debacle, why does he do it? Well, you know, for me, the way my disease manifests itself is by the lie, the deceitfulness that I practice with myself. In fact, it wasn't until I actually became entirely abstinent and out of the food fog that I could even tell you that the disease lied to me. I remember when I first came into OA in 1989, and my abstinence was no sugar, because I knew that was my problem food, and three meals a day, nothing in between. And that worked for 2.5 years. But I was so resentful. I did not work the steps. I was so resentful that I wasn't normal, that I had to give up sugar. And I went to my sister's, and it was her husband's birthday, and she said, I made an angel food cake. It's very light. I'm sure you can have some. And I believed her. You know, I believed the lie that this time the angel food cake wouldn't bother me. So, of course, that was the beginning of a 17-year period of chronic relapse. You know, and I can remember those first bites. One year it was around Christmas time, and at work, I'm a nurse, and we would get these big buckets of popcorn. And I thought, well, popcorn's on my list. And, of course, the popcorn that I went for was the caramel popcorn. You know, it's covered in sugar, but, you know, it never occurred to me that that was the problem. You know, I still didn't see that lie. And, you know, for me, I'm so grateful that, you know, after 17 years of being a chronic relapser, that I finally surrendered the food, because without surrendering the food for me, without knowing what my alcoholic substances were, I couldn't work the steps. And even then, I didn't work the steps right away. It had to take a real personal crisis in my life to get me to understand that not only did I have to change my eating behaviors, I had to change my behaviors, period. You know, I could not be the same person that I walked into these rooms for, you know, as, to, what is it now, 31 years ago. And I'm so grateful because I never liked that person to begin with. And I don't like her now when she comes out. She's raging. She's crazy. And, you know, I have to work this program every day for my life. And so I'll pass now. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Mary G. And now we'll have Tippy share. And if you could give me the first initial of your last name, that'd be great. Good morning, Tippy.
Hi. Good morning. This is Tippy J. I'm calling from New York City. Grateful to be on the line this morning. On day three this morning, the word that caught my attention most from these two paragraphs was the suffering and humiliation, but mostly humiliation, and not even being humiliated by others, but being humiliated by myself, like to myself, just not being able to believe what I was doing to myself, just feeling like I need to be saved from myself. And I also appreciate the fact that it says by no means a comprehensive picture of the true alcoholic, because like some other people mentioned, it's much easier for me to find the ways to identify out instead of identify in. And that's definitely true for me. So this paragraph just helps me remember to see where I am similar and not to find the differences. And also the insanity of just, you know, if hundreds of experiences showed him that one drink would mean another debacle, but you just continue at it. Why does he take that one drink? Just the insanity around that. And it's just like, why can't you stay in the water? Why, you know, and it's reminding me of the other place in the book where it says, you know, people asking, you know, if you loved him and if you loved them enough, you wouldn't do it. If you, you know, leave the hard stuff, this, that, this is beyond my control. If I'm not in a spiritual solution, I will pick up, period. And like somebody else said, and I love that, the Y is a crooked letter. And that's definitely true for me. So asking why for me leads a lot to self-pity and comparison and expectations. I'm grateful to be here this morning. And thank you, everybody, for your service. I pass.
Well, thank you, Tippy J. And we do have time for another about 1 minute share. Is there someone who would like to share with us who hasn't shared in the last few days?
Hi, I'm Bridget.
Bridget, go ahead.
This is Mo.
We just have time for Bridget. So go ahead, Bridget. Thank you.
Hi, I'm new, and I just wanted to share. I'm really glad I logged on and listened. This is right where I'm at. I had a couple days last week and have these great ideas that I can have something, get back on track the next day. And I still struggle with myself and still try to do that. And I know that it does not work. I fantasized about this place and time years ago where I was able to do that. And it worked for me really well, and I just can't get back on track. And I'll still send my food plan every day, and I'll do good breakfast and lunch, and then dinner just like blows up. So this is right where I'm at. It's just, you know, once I eat off track, it's just I go down the rabbit hole, and then I just can't seem to get myself back on track. And as people were sharing, it finally clicked today that it's like I'm angry. Like I'm angry about things and the way that some things have happened in my life the past couple of years. And I'm finally realizing that I really do need to get a sponsor and work the steps, because I've just been trying to send somebody my food and work on it that way. And I have the OA 12 and 12 here, but I don't open it up. And I'm listening to people share it, and I'm realizing that maybe I need to open that book up and start working with a sponsor. So that's where I'm at, and thanks everybody for being here and letting me share.
Thank you, Bridget. And do you have, could you give us the first initial of your last name, Bridget?
Sure, it's S.
S, Bridget S. And where are you calling from?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. All right. Well, thank you so much, Bridget S., and welcome. We love having newcomers, and we're so happy to have you here. All right. Well, big thank you to everyone who shared and making this meeting just a wonderful, fantastic meeting. So thank you to everyone. And we're now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Julie E.B. please read A Vision for You? Our Big Book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Looking to see where I put that. A vision. All right. Sorry about that. Opened a different page. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize you know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you than to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you can't transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as we trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.